Final hour on this Thursday, next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We start off this hour by going to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are joined by the voice of Vanderbilt football, Andrew Allegretta, for his weekly visit to the program. Andrew, thanks for taking some time. I'm sure it's been a fun week with the Commodores now 2-0.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop, right? The machinery just keeps rolling right along. But it's been good. It's obviously been positive.
Right. Well, Saturday night, 20-10 at halftime, Commodores trailing and just completely dominated the final 30 minutes of that game. 34-0 on the scoreboard, 321-21 in terms of yards gained. We were up there together, Andrew, but what did you see flip in that second half that allowed the Commodores to just run away with that game?
Man, that's hard to pinpoint. I'd be curious what you saw, too. It was a game like I've never seen before. Talking with both Coach Lee and Coach Beck, they both said the same thing in terms of in-game adjustments or how they wanted to approach the game differently, which was number one, don't panic. And Coach Lee used the phrase, the calls are on the sheet, meaning basically if you catch your breath, if you look at it through a very calm lens, you can find the calls that will get you back into the ball game. And they certainly did that. From a strategic standpoint, obviously they blitzed the heck out of Kyron Drones, and that changed the game. I think it was four total three and outs that Vanderbilt's defense forced against Virginia Tech, with the bulk of them coming at the end of the second quarter and the second half. And as far as the offense goes, they got Diego a little bit more involved in the running game. But more than anything, boy, they just got physical. They just really punched Virginia Tech in the teeth. And it was odd, I think you would say the same thing too, Jake, to watch Virginia Tech kind of, I'm cautious to say back down, but the way that Virginia Tech was not able to keep up with the physicality was really interesting throughout the course of that second half. But there's no doubt that the bully ball went to Vandy in the second half.
Yeah, it happened really fast. It felt like in a blink of an eye, it went from Vandy down 10 to up by 10 and in control of the game. And you saw Lane Stadium start to clear out, but for the majority of that game, that was a tough environment to play in. Now you turn around and go to Columbia. How do you think that experience playing in Lane Stadium on the road and controlling that game in the second half has prepared them for what is an even tougher opponent and maybe a tougher environment this weekend in Columbia?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know. I am hopeful. And this is my two cents, Jake. I thought, and we talked about it in the booth too, that Diego was a little bit maybe more amped up than necessary at the start of that Virginia Tech game. That throw down the field on second down and two felt out of the ordinary for him. It felt like he was trying to make a play. Regular Diego throws that out of bounds, and it's third and two, and you can try to pick up the first down that way. So I thought Diego had a lot of juices flowing, which you don't want to take that away from him. And they're not going to do that this week versus South Carolina. But hopefully for Diego, it's a little bit of a refresher for what those moments are at the start of the ball game and how you can settle in and how you can let your game dictate the environment, not the other way around. But we'll certainly learn. I think the environment at the start is probably just as challenging. It's hard for me to say one is more difficult. I'm certainly not on the field. But what will be the test, obviously, is the opponent. Like, can you take the fight to South Carolina the way that you took the fight to Virginia Tech? And if you can do that, then you can kind of neutralize the environment throughout the course of the game. But it's going to be the players and their execution that do that.
Well, Andrew, knowing the competitor that Diego Pavia is, here it is, you got a head-to-head against Lenore Sellers. What makes you think that he's going to be able to learn from last week and not come out and be overexcited and just play his game in this clash of top-tier quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's probably a Diego question. And my perception that Diego was dialed perhaps to 11 instead of 10 is just my own eyeballs.
Right.
But I've seen Diego now for the past year and a half, and he is currently the highest rated quarterback according to Pro Football Focus. He's like 90 something. That doesn't make him 100%. So he's got a couple of moments here or there where he tries to make a few plays. But I've never seen a competitor, to your point, Teron, that is able to get himself back to neutral and continue to fight in a positive headspace. Like, if there's a mistake, it doesn't seem to drag him down in the way that other competitors sometimes struggle. So even if there is a mistake versus South Carolina, I don't know that it's going to drag him to a bad place. And I do think he's motivated to, like, be that quarterback versus Lenora Sellers. But I think kind of when he gets in between the lines, it's still about the black and gold. It's not like he's not trying to break out of the pocket to prove that he can be as elusive as Lenoris. Like, he's trying to break out of the pocket to make a play and mm-hmm. win a ball game. So I really don't think, like, when he's in the competitive headspace, like, he can find the juices of motivation wherever he wants to find it. But, like, in the moment between the lines, I don't think it's really for him about anything other than his team being successful on any given play.
No, that's a great point. And typically, like, once the game starts, that whole thing gets pushed aside. So I'm glad you mentioned right. that. I want to ask you this, though, because you look at what Bryce Henderson and his comments, you know, we're going to go in and we're going to win. You look at the comments that Pavia had, you know, before the season about Vanderbilt being the new wave of football here in Tennessee, et cetera. Do you think this team has to safeguard themselves from kind of allowing their britches to get too big, feeling themselves a little too much?
Well, Georgia State would suggest that they've got to be mindful of it. I don't think they played the way that they were supposed to play football versus Georgia State a season ago, and they lost. Sure, I think anybody's got to be mindful of that, don't you? You've got to execute the play, and if you're not focused, whoever you're going to play is going to execute better than you do. But I don't mind a lot of this conversation about what they believe that they are. I think one of the things that Coach Lee talked about during that Virginia Tech game is just the confidence that they had. Like, you're down 20-10 in a hostile environment. You've made a turnover. You make another turnover. You're committing penalties. Like, there's a lot of teams that would struggle to emotionally process that moment, and they've got the confidence to handle it. I don't think you have to – however you're going to get yourself to confidence, to me, is fine. Again, once you get between the lines, you have to execute. So, to me, the conversation is fine. Like, again, as competitors, it's kind of one of the things that's been interesting – for me to watch from the sideline is all of this, like, well, I don't know if Pavia should be talking about the national championship and telling Paul Feinbaum that that's the standard. Not, I mean, what's he supposed to say?
Right.
Like, you want somebody like that. Like, if you don't believe that you're the best at your position, the other guy is going to punch you in the teeth. So, you know, and every game that you win, the stakes get a little bit higher. So everything that you say seems a little bit more dialed up. I think they have to safeguard themselves in their own headspace about making sure that they execute and they're focused on any given play, any given game. I'm not saying they should disrespect the opponent ever. But if someone is asking you, do you believe that you're the best at your position? Your answer should be yes. Otherwise, you're in trouble.
Talking with Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football, ahead of the Commodores game against South Carolina this weekend. Andrew, I think one thing that stood out to me watching the game recap from this past weekend against Virginia Tech and Clark's halftime post-game speeches and what we saw from the Netflix documentary is that every single player in that locker room hangs on every word Clark Lee says. Like, they believe in the vision that he has for this program. How crucial has that been over the past 2 years to turning the results around for this team? And how have you seen that differ from maybe the first couple of years of Clark Lee's tenure?
So I asked David Culley, former Vanderbilt quarterback, of course, Houston Texans head coach there for a second, because he's around the program a bunch in the fall, and he's always there, and then he kind of comes back a little bit, and he's in and out. And I asked him this fall, like, what's different about this fall camp to you compared to the previous fall camps that you've seen? And he used the word maturity, meaning that everybody on the field knows their job, is trying to execute their job, and they're there to get their work done. And I think that's probably the culture that Clark has set, and that's really hard to get to. And it doesn't get there without having the right people in the locker room, both your coaches and your players, and then letting that mature over time. I think we kind of saw that kind of budding really well last year. And then obviously it's taken hold this year. They've got a lot of football in front of them. Like, there's going to be tough games that's going to challenge kind of that focus and tenacity and stick-to-itiveness. But I see a really strong-willed coach in Clark Lea, who's really smart, knows what he wants, and has kind of established that consistency within this program. He is all about process with these guys. And then you've got a player in Diego Pavia that can echo what the coach says. I don't think any good team can have one without the other. Like, you need a really strong-willed coach who sets a clear vision, and you need somebody, whoever the player is, to make sure that that is entrenched in the locker room and the coaches aren't there. And they've got those two things in place with Clark and Diego.
I want to wrap it up with the turnover battle. I know these are two defenses that, you know, that's their bread and butter. That's what they want to do. How do you see that playing out? And also, you look at the senior, the ultra senior, Rasul Faison. He was able to get the eligibility. He's a big part of the ground attack. How do you think that's going to work against Vanderbilt's front and their defense?
Yeah, again, good question. Yeah, he got his extra year kind of under the Pavia rule. But as I was reading it this week, I guess the Pavia ruling was directly from 2019 and beyond, and his situation dates back to 2018, so they kind of had to work with that. Whatever, that's fine. Yeah, South Carolina under Clayton White, their defensive coordinator, I think has 90 turnovers since 2021, and that's number one in the country. So Vandy is going to have to handle that. Like, two turnovers last week in the first half is very disorienting. That was two in one half of football for an offense that turned it over seven times all of 2024. They're going to have to. So the defense is just two things for South Carolina. One, outrageously good off the edge, and two, really fast in the back end. So you're going to have to set the edges to the best of your ability versus Dylan Stewart's. And on the other side, they've got another talented guy that have replaced Kyle Kennard. You're going to have to set those edges. You're going to have to let things slow down for Pavia and the running game. And then if you're going to advance the ball down the field, you're going to have to understand the team speed that they have. Because, and Pavia, I think, actually has been really good about hitting windows so far in two games. I feel like he's been a little bit more of an accurate passer, interception notwithstanding. So he's going to have to understand the speed in the back end. But, you know, If the offensive line for Vanderbilt can take the fight to the defensive line, set the edges for South Carolina, again, not going to be easy, not going to be easy at all. I think you can slow things down for the offense, and that in and of itself should allow you to be more mindful with the football. Turnovers happen when you're sped up, right? Or someone makes a great play. But if you can slow things down, set the edges, kind of at least maintain some sense of structure with your offensive line, I think they can knock down the turnover risk. They've got to take care of themselves and not commit penalties too. So it's a big day. Shocker, an SEC game is going to come down to the trenches. Can Vanderbilt's offensive line hold up against the edge of South Carolina? And can Vanderbilt's defensive line create enough problems for Lenora Sellers that he's off track a little bit?
You can listen to Andrew along with Norm Jordan, Kevin Ingram on The Call, 5 o'clock pregame, 6:45 kick on Saturday. Andrew, as always, thanks for taking the time. Have a great call this weekend, and hopefully the Commodores come back to Nashville 3-0.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks, TD.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football. Again, 5 o'clock pregame, 6:45 kick. Commodores looking to get to 3-0, coming back for a couple of games against Georgia State, Utah State. Could be the start of something special over on West End. We'll react to what Andrew had to say coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is teamed up with Pella Windows and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption this Saturday at Pella, 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville, from 10 to noon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you for a little over 30 more minutes. Chasing Big Joe coming up at the top of the hour. Parker Kelly, he's spinning back there.
Yeah. Somewhere the 13-year-old version of me is in the attic shadow boxing as I hear this music, man. This, yeah. Fight the Power, Shut Them Down. Like, it was just NWA, Public Enemy, KRS-One. Rakim, like, that stuff used to get me hype, man. And I just go in the attic and just shadow box. Oh, man.
Parker
that's,
pulls out
that's
all
a good
the stops
pick, man.
When
that's a
you're
good
here.
Pick. Yes, yes,
we,
yes.
You know, we get some creative stuff from Parker back there. Yesterday he played a bear down for Corey Curtis, our resident Bears fan. So great job from Parker Kelly. Yeah. Great talking to Andrew Allegretta for his weekly visit as he gets set to head down to Columbia. Voice of the Commodores, Vanderbilt taking on South Carolina on Saturday. It is crazy, TD, to see just the transformation of Vanderbilt football over the last 2 years, where at the end of the 2023 season, they had lost 10 straight games. It looked dire for that program. And Clark Lee made the changes that he needed to do on the coaching staff, got Diego Pavia, and here we are. They're coming off a 7-6 season, and now they're heading on the road. They're 5.5-point underdogs at South Carolina, who's the 11th-ranked team in the country, with a chance that they're likely a top 20 team if they win this game. Yeah. Vandy football has really just done a complete 180 in less than two calendar years.
Yeah, no longer a laughing stock. You can't laugh at them and take them lightly because that defense they're going to turn the football over,
right,
and Pavia is going to do something crazy. That, you already know.
That defensive line is so deep. They just rotate guys in and out. It's like they've got a line change out there, and that's what you need in the SEC. Against those big offensive lines you're going to see. Excited to see what they do this weekend at South Carolina. And it's funny, just like the public image of Vanderbilt football has changed too. It's like they used to be kind of viewed as like, oh, they're in the SEC, but they're not really like SEC, Alabama, Ole Miss. But they had, like, Theo Vaughn is following the team around. Like, he's their resident mascot right now. They had the streamer iShow Speed at practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cool to be a Vanderbilt football fan, which is awesome to see. And, you know, you're trying to appeal to 16, 17-year, 18-year-old kids. Like, that kind of stuff does help with recruiting to show these celebrities. Jelly Roll's been out there at practice. It's like this kind of stuff can help this program continue to grow. And, you know, Nashville, there are a lot of Tennessee fans in here, but it does feel like the community is starting to rally around Vanderbilt football.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, it's not a situation where you could say, hey, Vandy's on my schedule, that's a win. No, you got to bring it in order to beat this team now. And it's refreshing to see that, because just in this short bit of time that I've been here,
right,
you know, I've seen the days where it's like, man, I ain't even going to bother to go to a Vandy game. You know what I mean? But now it's like, hey, I want to go see it. You
it's
know
different.
What I mean? Yeah. And it's cool to see. Like, you respect that. Like, when you could build something earlier, Parker Place started from the bottom. Now we're here.
Yeah.
Like, Vandy should really – that should be their theme song, because now they're at a point where it's like they're a force to be reckoned with.
And with the remodel and everything at the stadium, like, it's all kind of coming together at the right time. This is going to be a fun game on Saturday. Like, South Carolina's a good team, and they got a lot of talented players, and Lenora Sellers is 1A along with Dylan Stewart. Like, those two guys are not only probably first-round picks, they both could end up being top 10 picks by the time they leave Columbia. But as we've seen, Vanderbilt can play with anyone. They beat Alabama last year. They took Texas down to the last minute, lost by 3 to the Longhorns, who ended up being a national semifinalist. Like, there are very rarely a game where Vandy is out of it at the end. South Carolina is good, though. And this is a Vandy team that hasn't beaten South Carolina since 2008. Like, it's one of the stranger losing streaks that we've seen, because you wouldn't think that, like, South Carolina and Vanderbilt play all the time, but they do play every single year. Vandy has not won since 2008. They might be due. And at 6:45 on the SEC Network, radio broadcast right here on 102.5 The Game, I think that's must-see TV. Pavia versus Sellers. It's not going to disappoint in terms of entertainment, that's for sure.
Yep, and even, I mean, you look, hey, they got tight end you going on at Vanderbilt in the summertime and everything. So I think that's just a testament to where this program is going, all the excitement and everything like that. I would just say, hey, man, like, Nashville, support them. You know what I mean? Support them. You know, local athletes, hey, if you could get a scholarship to Vandy, I mean, you're talking about, what is it, 77, 80, 80,000 a year?
Not only you're playing in the SEC –
you're getting quite an education.
You're living in Nashville, which, you know, I've been to every SEC town. I would probably take Nashville over most of them, if not all of them.
Yeah.
And you get a degree that is second to pretty much only the Ivies. Like, Vanderbilt is up there in terms of the quality of degree that you're getting. Like, it is there are plenty of ways to sell Vanderbilt football, and I think you're starting to see that come to fruition. So excited for that one on Saturday, Vanderbilt and South Carolina. That is a 6:45 kick from Columbia before Vandy returns home for games against Georgia State and Utah State each of the next two Saturdays. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to get back into the Titans for the final half hour of the show, get TD's thoughts on what the Titans need to do, maybe not to win on Sunday, but just to show improvement and stay in this game against a good Rams team in Nissan Stadium for week two. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. PK, the dedication to the bump music from PK when you're in here, it's different. It is different.
This was a banger, though, my boo. I used to bump this right here, you know.
Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you for 30 more minutes as Chase and Big Joe are coming up at the top of the hour. TD in for the full show today. We've gotten into a lot of stuff, but Titans and Rams coming up on Sunday. Titans 0-1, looking to avoid falling to 0-2. Going to be a tough task against a good Rams team. Game is at home over at Nissan Stadium, noon on Sunday. So TD, we've talked a lot about the offense and things that need to improve. What are you looking at specifically on Sunday that has to be better around Cam Ward to give the Titans a chance to win this game?
First things first, catch the football.
Be a good
I think
start.
That's the biggest thing, right?
Be a
but
good start.
On top of that, what they need to do is put together easier situations to catch the football. Let's see some screens where the guy who's getting the ball knows to be the one to look at the quarterback. You got to have that. But overall, I think, you know, more play action, running the football, establish that. I think it's going to be tough against Jarrett Verse without having J.C. Latham, which I think that's kind of the way it's trending.
That's how it's sounding.
Yeah, so that's going to be a situation. Defensively, look, just continue to play ball. Tackle better late in the game. That's going to be important. And just find a way to stay, you know, how can I put it? You want to cut drives a little bit more. They were on the field a lot. A lot of that was because of the offense and their three and out. So I think overall just a better effort, limit the penalties and things like that too.
Yeah, I think offensively you gotta stay ahead of the chains. There were so many times, especially late in the game on Sunday, where it was obvious passing situations. And you mentioned J.C. Latham. It seems like it's trending that he's not going to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, everything that we've seen and heard Brian Callahan say, I would make the guess he's not going to be out there. Could change. We'll see what the practice report is later on today, whether he's able to get out there. But seems like he will be out without J.C. Latham. The easiest way to make sure that Cam Ward doesn't get crushed again on Sunday is get ahead of the chains where Jarrett Verse and those other pass rushers can't just pin their ears back and come and try and knock out Cam Ward, because he was hit 12 times on Sunday. Got to be less than that against the Rams.
It's got to be less than that, absolutely. And I think, you know, when you look at Jarrett Verse, he's obviously the guy we're all going to talk about and look at. But you got Braden Fisk, who's, you know,
he had a disruptive player.
8.5
sacks last year.
Yeah, you know, you got that. Then I think, you know, you even look at some of the other, like Omar Spates, like looking at their roster. Cam Curl is a solid safety. I've liked him. Keller Weatherspoon, you know, he's been around for a while. That was actually Cheeto Awuzie.
Right.
That was his teammate at Colorado before Colorado was the sexy school
Coach
that it
Prime.
Is now. Yeah. So I think you look at those things. But one thing that is really major to me, Steve Avila coming out of TCU.
Yep.
You know, he was a guy I really liked him as a prospect. I remember sitting in here talking to Jared. I'm like, yo, this guard, he's good, man. Watched him against Texas and their D tackles, you know. If he's out.
Yep.
Regardless of whether he's out or playing, Jeffrey Simmons has to dominate. You know what I mean?
Steve Avila, ankle sprain. Kevin Dotson, their other guard, also has a sprained ankle.
Yeah.
They are being listed as week to week. Neither of them practiced yesterday. Mm. Also, right tackle Rob Havenstein did not practice yesterday. So there's a chance that the Rams could be without three of their starting five. I haven't heard anything about Havenstein. Maybe that's more maintenance for him. He's a veteran guy. Maybe he just needed yesterday off and he'll be back out there. But something to keep an eye on, because the Titans' interior defensive linemen, we expect to see more from Tavondre Sweat this week. As you know, he's not at elevation. He's got a game under his belt. If Simmons and Sweat can collapse that pocket and make it tough on Matthew Stafford, that's a way that the Titans can stay in this game, even if the offense isn't explosive again, which, again, without J.C. Latham, it might be tough to protect Cam Ward.
Yeah, it's going to be very tough. But you know what? Your play calls have to protect him, okay? So you know that you have a liability on the right side.
Yep.
There's nothing new to Brian Callahan. Yeah. You know, so you know that. So your play calls have to protect him. Sprint out away from that side when Jarrett Verse is over there.
Yep.
Make sure that Kevin Zeitler, that triangle, Zeitler, Cushenberry, and Skoronski hold it down against Braden Fisk and keep him from – because they like to tandem the two, Fisk and Verse. You know,
right.
They work in tandems. Going back to Florida State that year they spent together. So you want to make sure that you're sprinting away from that. And at the same time, as you're sprinting away, this is a good opportunity to have a play just popped into my mind, right, where you have the play side be the right, and let's just say Jarrett Verse and Fisk are there on the right, right? You want to have DK as the slot. Why not have him run that deep over route that he – did so well at Florida, that Cam Ward threw so well at Miami? Why not have him run that deep over from right to left, and you're sprinting out away from that, you know what I mean? And then you have Tony Pollard to your left and just kind of backside be able to, you know, block that if Verse or Fisk or the linebacker, whoever should leak through, you got the help. And now you're giving that an opportunity to go where you got the deep crosser, you got a post over top of that, and maybe Iron Man are on the go route isolated on that side. You know, these are all things that you got to do. And, of course, with that situation, you want to have your outlet where he could get rid of the ball if that pressure does leak through. Do more of those types of things where your play call and design is being put together to plug that hole, right, where you have the bad, the liability, so to speak.
Yes, and it may be tough to protect Cam Ward, and you have to be creative in that sense. But as I mentioned earlier, the Rams, Akilah Witherspoon, their cornerbacks, they're not bad cornerbacks, but it's not Patrick Surtain and Riley Moss. I'd like to see some more shots. Again, you have to protect Cam Ward to give him the chance to throw these, but you're not facing an all-pro defensive player of the year cornerback. Get Calvin Ridley a little bit more involved. I know we got 8 targets on Sunday, and he didn't catch a ton of them, but get him in the rhythm early on. How many targets did he have in the first half? One, two, maybe?
One or two. Yeah.
He had the little screen pass, and I think that might have been it. So if you can get Calvin Ridley more involved, get those receivers more involved early, I think that's going to be helpful. And again, it's a lot easier when it's not Patrick Surtain and Riley Moss, who, if you're looking at cornerback tandems across the league, that might be the best one that you're going to face all year.
Yeah, Riley Moss. I was telling Iron Manor yesterday, I was like, man, listen, Riley Moore, I loved him coming out of Iowa. Let me tell you.
He doesn't get enough attention because Patrick Surtain's on the other side.
Yeah. Which means that he's going to get a lot of targets and he has to hold it down, and he's done a good job. But to your point about these corners, this is a week where you say, okay, you know what? We could go max protection. If I'm the coach, I'm thinking, hey, I could go max protection a little bit more because I'm looking at Darius Williams, aggressive corner. You know, he's feisty. He's spicy, you know what I mean? But I'm looking at him. I'm looking at Keller Witherspoon, Cody Durant. I'm like, you know what? I feel like my guys could beat them one-on-one. So, you know, if we go max and we have 3-4-man routes, I feel like my guys can win. And that's kind of – I'm not telling Brian Callahan how to design the plays. I'm just saying the way I would look at it. And I get excited about that because I think about one-on-ones, and it's like, man, you know – Imano, Imano, as Jarvis Browning says, and is one of the things where you're one-on-one, and it's like, it's me and you. Guess what? it ain't going to be me losing. You know what I mean? So let's have it. And yeah. It's exciting to think about that opportunity.
You feel like the matchups on the outside are better. And yeah. I said to Parker on Monday, reaction show right off the top, did you see Patrick Surtain basically at all during that game? No, because they didn't throw at him. Yeah. I cannot think of a single instance where they threw the ball anywhere near Patrick Surtain.
There was one, and I remember him doing this because it was incomplete. There was one I remember.
Maybe one, but it's like yeah, that you rarely. Talk about him as the defensive player of the year. The reason he's the defensive player of the year is because people don't test him because mm-hmm. he's that good. Mm-hmm. And you saw a ton of Riley Moss, and Riley Moss, I mean, he made his money on Sunday.
Yeah, like he got away with a little, interference on that.
He
on
did.
That
I, one, I but, thought you know. The interference calls were a little inconsistent yes. on Sunday. Like, there was one right after the non-challenge for the Ironmaner catch where Ridley got hit way early. It was like
okay.
a little throw over the middle, and the guy coming from behind, it might have been Surtain, actually. I thought he got there early. And with Jarvis Brownlee Jr., yeah, they – most of them were close, probably flags.
Yeah.
But the Broncos were doing some similar stuff throughout the game.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think they got called for any kind of pass interference.
That second one of Brownlee was horse crap, man.
Yeah, the one where Sutton pushed off.
Yeah, yeah. You engaged the confrontation.
Right.
You engaged it.
And it was hand fighting, and then Brownlee just dove in front and made the pass breakup.
You saw when the flag came up?
When the ball was incomplete already.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it was inconsistent for sure on Sunday. And, you know, 130 yards in penalties for the Titans is not good, but I think the Broncos should have had a few more yards there too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Last call for phones. If you have thoughts, questions for TD, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One more segment coming up. Then we'll hand it off to Chase and Big Joe, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Wrapping up the show here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, TD fired up.
Yeah, I could just hear Chris Berman.
I know.
You know what I mean? Him and Tom Jackson. What? Yeah. Mike Allstott.
Fastest 3 minutes in sports right yeah. here.
I love it. I love that they still have him doing this on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, like, it's awesome.
Like, Chris Berman obviously isn't going to be the main staple of ESPN football coverage like he was for years, but I like that they keep him involved.
Boomer.
I wish they would let him do the home run derby again.
back. Gone.
Titans and Rams coming up on Sunday. TD will be out there. Make sure you follow along at @TDavenport_NFL for all of your coverage this weekend. Titans trying to avoid an 0-2 start against the Rams. A couple of things. You mentioned Femi Ladejo during the break. And
yeah.
I feel like we haven't talked about him enough this week. There were some flashes. He was unblocked on most of them, but he did the right things. I mentioned earlier, I think it was Mark Sanchez said, he didn't chase the cheese on some of those play actions. He stayed mm-hmm. home, made Bo Nix make some either dirt it or make a bad decision. I think Femi looked good in his NFL debut on Sunday.
He had a Brandon Graham type of game to me.
Yeah.
BG is one of my favorite guys to ever cover, but also one of my favorite players to watch, you know, from that position, and he did that. Also, to his credit, you know, as far as being a rookie, there was a play, right, where you saw him look at the other side of the defense and do this and get them, because it was like strong side to him, because he's the strong side back to Sam, you know, in that situation. And so he had Hooker, he repositioned Imani Hooker, and Hooker came up and made a play.
Yep.
And it's like you got the multi-million-dollar
just signed
veteran,
extension,
you
captain.
Know what I mean? Captain getting a tip from the rookie, who, by the way, converted to a new. But see, this is kind of the middle linebacker part of him. Why that is that experience is so good for a guy
yeah.
in that situation.
Yeah.
So I thought that was one of the better things he did that day.
I liked what I saw from Femi. I thought the edge group, even though there were times where Bo Nix got to stand back there a little bit too long.
Yeah.
Like that, there was obviously times where they just didn't get home. I think the edge group at least showed me something
mm-hmm.
On Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And you hope that Femi can continue to develop and you know, get some take some snaps away from some of those veteran guys. Like Draymond Jones and Arden Key, those are your veteran guys out there. But I think by the end of the year, you're hoping that Femi Oladejo is a big part of that defensive line.
Yeah, and I want to see just how they're able to use the versatility a little bit more, right? Now, especially in this situation, if the guards can't play, Dotson and Avila, give the guys in there different looks.
Yeah.
Okay, look, if Sweat is out there, hey, give him that bull rush. Okay, you know what? Your turn, Arden. I want you to use your length. Okay, you know what? Next up is Jeff. Hey, Jeff, finesse him. Give him some quickness, you know, and that way you don't get them used to what they're facing. It's like, oh, shoot, I got this bull rush.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there's a lot to deal with.
We talked about this yesterday, that if Steve Avila and Kevin Dotson both can't go, again, I'm not of the opinion of, like, if I don't know their name, then they're not good. Like, I know that's how a lot of people feel. But here are the three starting interior offensive linemen if Avila and Dotson can't go. Justin Dedich, Coleman Shelton, and Bo Limmer.
Hmm.
Those are three people who have never been in my kitchen.
Yeah, not familiar with any of the I've heard of Bo Limmer before. But
so Coleman Shelton is their starting center.
Okay.
But I'm looking at it. The only other two interior offensive linemen listed on this depth chart on ESPN are Justin Dedich and Bo Limmer.
Look, this is a week where you get up there, right? Have those conversations with the receivers at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And I'm not talking about talking, right? I'm talking about talking with your hand. Get hands on them. You want to do that anyway, but here's the thing. There's a lot of motion and things like that that they do to set up Puka Nacua, and Davante Adams is freaky at the line of scrimmage. Yep. So proceed with caution. But in my opinion, this is a week where you say, hey, L'Jarius Sneed, I know you're mad about not playing last week. Take it out on him. Take it out on this guy in front of you. Put your hands on him. Jarvis, keep putting your hands on him. You know, do what you got to do to slow them down at the line to give that rush extra time.
Yes, and I think it would be an important game to have both L'Jarius Sneed and Jarvis Brownlee out there on the outside. Yeah. It makes you feel a lot better going against, again, Puka Nacua, who's proven that he can be one of the best wide receivers in football, and then Davante Adams, who, you know, he's on the backside of his career, but the Titans usually don't do too well guarding Davante Adams.
Yeah.
I look back at that, was it Sunday Night Football against the Packers a couple years ago, where he caught
160?
Three touchdowns or something like that?
Yeah.
I get it. That's a different Davante Adams than what we have now, but still, very talented player. TD, final thoughts on what we hope to see on Sunday. I think the main thing for me is we can't be talking about Brian Callahan on Monday. He cannot have a situation like the end of the first half or the challenge where you're looking at him as a reason why the team lost. The team may lose. The Rams are the more talented team, but it can't be because of the head coach.
It can't be because of the head coach. You need to see a near flawless operation. I mean, he's gotten to the point now where there is no benefit of the doubt. You want to make sure that everything is buttoned up, right? And if you lose, it's not because of, you know, guys not knowing what they're doing and you not layering plays and not being aggressive at the right time. If they lose this game, it has to be one of the ones where it's just like, you know what? This team is where we want to be next year. So
There's a difference between being out-talented and out-played.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you've got to play with them, and it's the NFL. Like, it's not like this is Alabama and Mercer. Like, you can play with them. They're all professionals. You can get out-talented, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's about not having the bad decisions. And the penalties have to be better.
The penalties have to be curbed.
Penalties are going to happen. I'm not expecting the Titans to go out and have three penalties for 25 yards on Sunday. But you can't have 130 yards of penalties again. That was
almost 1.5 football fields.
It was atrocious. Really bad. You can't have that, especially when your offense only puts up 135. Like, it's not good. Got to be better from Brian Callahan. Got to be better from the offense. Titans and Rams Sunday at noon. We've appreciated having TD on for the full show today. We'll do it again next week.
Yeah.
We'll talk to TD. And again, I'm going to have to update everybody on how the cow milking goes tonight. I have no idea.
Are you bringing gloves?
Should I? I feel like I should, right?
I wouldn't even do it, but yeah, I would have those doctor's gloves on. You know,
well,
what I mean?
They said in the email, like, bring clothes you don't want to worry about getting milk on. And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, but excited for that. It's at 7 o'clock. If you want to come see me and Chase milk some cows tonight, Big Joe's going to be the MC. It's over at the Nashville Fair in Wedgewood, Houston, and we're going to do our best. 7
videos.
O'clock tonight.
Just get videos.
I am 100% sure that Big Joe, if he's not the one taking the video, he will have somebody there to take the video.
And he will be laughing in the background,
yes,
too.
Yes, he will. So I will update everybody tomorrow on how that goes. TD, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, before we get out of here, it is September 11th, so just want to remember all the victims of the tragedy 24 years ago. This is a day that we always have to look back and, you know, never forget what happened on that day. And for anyone who was affected by that, our thoughts are with you today. That does it for us. For Teron Davenport and Parker Kelly, I'm Jake Lyman signing off. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.